We have six letters from the paper this week. First of all, you heard last week about the closure of the Cantley sugar factory. Terry Presley of Rowton adds his comments. I just had to write with regards to the sad news of the closure of our dear old sugar factory at Cantley. This factory is the oldest in the UK. My first visit was as a 12-year-old boy, riding most Saturday mornings during the season in the Farm Thames Trader farm lorry, where my grandad worked at the former Hoverton fruit farms. The driver's name was Lenny Hubbard, and I recall telling him on one of our Saturday morning trips to Cantley that when I was big enough, I was going to drive a sugar beet lorry in and out of Cantley. My words did come true, and I did end up driving a 44-ton articulated lorry for many seasons, which I greatly enjoyed for many years. It'll be a sad day next February when our dear old Cantley factory closes for good, and British Sugar's decision is a big shock after spending £11 million on changing the old lady by the burr over to gas. The lorries I drove were a far cry from the four-wheeler 8 to 10 tonners from the days of my boyhood. I hope I'm not the only one who will miss our Cantley sugar factory.
Ken Ewing of Boardswell writes about the push for more affordable housing by the new Prime Minister and how that interacts with local news. We have this week heard from our new Prime Minister that his government intends to build 500,000 affordable council houses by 2030. It makes the decision by Broadland District Council to allow developer Hill Residential to reduce the affordable housing on its proposed scheme at Thorpe St Andrew from 79 to 29 even more ridiculous. If the rule is 33% affordable housing, then the developer should be made to stick to it, not have it reduced by 12%. The developers would have done their due diligence before purchasing the site and surely made an allowance for possible increased costs of building. Now Hill Residential have an extra 50 non-affordable houses to build. Their profits will escalate considerably, and Andy Burnham's government will have to find somewhere else to build its council houses.
Mike Howman of Norwich has points to make about the current state of our justice system. A phrase in being for many years, the law is an ass, seems very apt nowadays. Another is, if you're old enough to do the crime, you're old enough to do the time. I refer to the numerous occasions when young felons under 16 years cannot be named publicly, even in murder or manslaughter crimes. I feel the law needs to be changed to write this, possibly from 12 years of age, suggesting that, as modern youth seems to be more grown up nowadays, they should be fully accountable for their actions to discourage others. Another anomaly is the early release from prison after only half, perhaps soon to be one-third, of the allotted sentence has been served. I realise this was an emergency measure brought in because of the lack of prison space. The victims of their crimes must expect better. I understand also that all sentences under two years must be suspended. This could allow the criminals a chance to carry on with their criminal activities. Again, suspension is mooted because of the lack of prison spaces. I also understand that up to 20% of inmates are foreign nationals who should rightly be deported to their home countries, but are retained here because of non-extradition treaties, often quoting their human rights. I say, what about the rights of their victims? Let's see if the new Labour government and the Prime Minister has the guts and wherewithal to rectify these situations.
A nostalgic column in last week's paper about the era of postcards brings memories from Marcus Moore of Sprouston. Emma Brennan's lovely feature about the nostalgic charm of postcards in this newspaper on July the 24th captures the cheerful, sensible postcards of yesteryear. Painted a rosier picture than reality, this nostalgic look at yesteryear mirrors my own fond memories of buying four for a pound seaside postcards. I also remember our local radio station collecting them for the Norfolk Deaf Children's Society and hearing local radio listeners mail them in and seeing our charity shop receive biannual postcards from a late volunteer in Harrogate.
You heard in our news slot about the Mitre Bowls Club. Helen Reed of Norwich certainly has a view, as she writes. Ray the Mitre Bowls Club, I'm most particularly referring to the opinion column on page 32. A long-standing and loyal member of the Mitre Bowls Club, of which I'm also a member, wrote this. This is my bowls club, but it is more than a bowls club. It's a community asset which, over the past 125 years, has seen so many changes and so many challenges, the most recent being COVID. But through it all, the club pulled together, supported each other and looked out for each other. Sometimes, on occasion, we played bowls as well. This awful decision wipes away the history, destroys this community and is so disrespectful towards a generation of bowlers who have enjoyed long summer evenings playing a gentle game which fosters honesty and good sportsmanship, whether you win or lose. Shameful behaviour from those concerned.
Finally, Leslie Gray of Taverham criticises whoever at the City Council thought it was a good idea to do away with armrests on public benches. Who at Norwich City Council thought removal of bench rest arms to assist the homeless get a good night's sleep was a good idea? What about all the elderly and disabled people who need these armrests to assist them in sitting down and standing up when they are out enjoying the fresh air and nature?